Well, as I mentioned last week, we looked at this idea of extending grace as we looked at a passage where Jesus taught about taking revenge, where Jesus talked about turning the other cheek, that on one hand, we should hold people accountable and not allow people to run us over, but on the other hand, not yielding to the temptation of getting even, not getting caught up in the Old Testament idea of an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. We also looked at this idea from St. Paul, where he wrote about vengeance and how it belongs to God and not to us. It's above our pay grade, if you will. And at the same time, in this text from Romans, Paul wrote about returning good for evil. When our enemy is hungry, feed them. When he is thirsty, give him something to drink, to overpower evil with good. Now, on today, I want to talk about and focus on this idea of receiving grace, of not only understanding it as a concept, but how do we accept this grace that comes from God? How do we accept it into our own lives? And as we do that, I want to share a portion of scripture that comes from the pen of St. Paul. It's found in the second chapter of Ephesians, verses 4 through 10. And today I'm going to be reading from the J.B. Phillips translation, where we read this. But even though we were dead in our sins, God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love he had for us, gave us life together with Christ. It is, remember, by grace and not by achievement that you're saved, and has lifted us right out of the old life to take our place with him in Christ in the heavens. Thus he shows for all times the tremendous generosity of the grace and kindness he has expressed to us in Christ Jesus. It was nothing you could do or achieve. It was God's gift to you. No one can pride himself upon earning the love of God. The fact is that we owe to the hand of God upon us. We are born afresh in Christ and born to do those good deeds which God has planned for us to do. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that you would speak to us through these words of Scripture and through the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, I'll never forget this. I think it was in the early 90s, I was at a conference in Chicago, and I had the opportunity to meet Peter Drucker, who's often called the father of modern business management. Well, during this conference, Peter was on stage and he was doing a question and answer time, and he was asked why he became a Christian. And he said, well, I studied all the religions of the world, and when I studied Christianity, it had this thing called grace. And he said, being a business person, recognizing a good deal when it came across, I just thought it was the best deal that came along. Well, sometimes grace is defined as undeserved favor. I think that sounds a little sterile, but I want you to get thinking about just how radical this idea of grace is. So let me start out by giving you just a little bit of context. There are a couple of words that are important to know to help us understand what grace really is and what it's not. And the first is justice. Justice. The second is mercy. And in order to understand grace, you really need to understand these two words. A one-sentence definition of justice is getting precisely what you deserve. Let's say you get caught speeding and that you're going like 30 miles over the speed limit, not that any of you would do that, and the judge says, that'll be $150. I think it's a lot more than that, isn't it? I wouldn't know. But the judge says, pay up. The judge isn't being mean or nasty. He's simply requiring you to pay what the law requires. He's being just. Now, let's say you break into your neighbor's house and steal their TV set. Again, I know none of you would ever do that. And you get caught. And you go before the judge, and he says, that'll be 2 years in jail. Again, it's not a personal vendetta. He's just saying you're getting precisely what the law requires. That's what justice is. And the Bible says in Psalm 9:16, God is just. in all his ways. God is a just God. God will make sure people get exactly what they deserve, and that's on both sides of the equation. And the idea is that God rewards our good behavior, that God holds us accountable for our bad behavior, just like a good parent does. Now, human beings get a little foggy when it comes to this justice thing. When we're at a football game, and we want the referees to be fair and just, of course, but when they mess up, especially in the favor of the other team, we let them know, don't we? I do. We want to immediately go to the replay booth because we want to get it right. We want justice. And if it's a bad call that favors our team, we're a little more understanding of the referee's shortcomings. We'll cut them slack. And that's called mercy. So justice is getting exactly what you deserve, and mercy is about getting a little slack, getting a little less than you deserve. So let's say you're caught by that cop doing 30 miles and over the limit, and justice says you need to pay $150, but the judge is in a good mood and he's filled with mercy that day, and he says, just pay $75 or something less. I'm just going to have a little mercy on you. Or when you broke into your neighbor's house and stole their TV set, justice requires 2 years, and on that day the judge looks and reviews your case. You have no prior convictions. He says, you know what? 8 months for you. I'm going to be merciful. I'm going to give you a little less than you deserve. Psalm 103:8 says, our Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. And a little further on in verse 10, it says, God does not repay us according to our sins. In other words, God, who sees us as his children and acts very much as a loving parent, is not into doing a one-for-one kind of corrective action. God shows us mercy. And here's where we start in our understanding of grace. Justice is getting precisely what you deserve, no more, no less. Mercy is getting something less than we deserve, but grace is something completely different. Grace is receiving something that's way beyond what we should expect, way beyond what we deserve. Grace is a whole different category. Now, a lot of us have trouble accepting or receiving grace because we think somehow we have to earn it. Now, I don't know how many of you remember this. Last night, there's like only two people who remembered it, which makes me feel very old. But how many of you remember the movie The Paper Chase with John Houseman? All right, a few more. It was one of my all-time favorite movies. It's actually made into a TV series. And can you remember Houseman? He was the professor at Harvard Law, and he had his glasses on the edge of his nose, and he'd look down at his students, and he'd say, you have to earn it. No, they don't remember. Okay. You need to Google it and look at it, because it's really cool. Well, one of the most memorable stories in all the New Testament is from Luke 15, prodigal son. We talked about it a little last week as well. And the son goes to his father and says, you're taking forever to die. And so I need your money now, so I can't wait until you die. Can you give me my inheritance now? And the father says, okay, for reasons I don't understand. And the son takes all that money, and the Bible says he goes to a distant land, and one translation says he lives wildly. He blows all his money. And after all his money was gone and his friends went away, that happens sometimes, you know, and there was an economic downturn and famine hit the land. And he winds up with no place to stay and nothing to eat, and someone lets him feed their pigs, and he's tempted to eat what he's feeding the pigs. In other words, he's kind of hit bottom. Then there's this neat little phrase in Luke 15 where he says, then he came to his senses. Now, can I help you understand what that phrase means in the context of today's discussion? The kid says, you know what? I've really fouled up. I'm not even worthy to be called my father's son. I've sinned against heaven and earth. That's exactly the phrase in Scripture. And you know what coming to his senses meant? It meant the kid figured out exactly what he deserved. He sorted out what justice looked like in his situation. He said, my behavior warrants forfeiting being my father's son. My behavior warrants my father shunning me for the rest of my life. I messed up big time. I've sinned against heaven and earth, against my father and against my family. I know what I deserve, separation from my family for the rest of my life. And he got real clear on that. That's a very important part of this story. But then, as he's coming to his senses, he starts sorting all of this out, and he gets just this little hint of hope in his heart. He says, but you know what? Maybe, just maybe, if I go home and own up and admit my mistakes, if I repent, maybe my dad will have a little mercy on me. Remember, that was his plan. He said, I'm going to go home and I'm going to say, Dad, I know what I deserve. But if you could just show me a little mercy, if you could give me a room back in the bunkhouse with the hired hands and just keep me from starving, I'd be the most grateful kid in the world. So he heads home, knowing what he deserves, justice, and he's hoping for just a little mercy. So he's going down the road, and he sees his dad, and the first thing he does when he sees his dad, he says, Dad, I know what I deserve. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And he doesn't even have a chance to get in, would you give me a place in the bunkhouse as part of the deal? And what happens? His father spills grace all over him. And you know what's going through his dad's mind? His dad goes, I know what you deserve. I know. And I'm going to go one step better than mercy. I'm going to do something better than the bunkhouse. And he wraps his arm around this kid and he says, welcome home. Welcome home. I am so glad to see you. I'm going to kill the fatted calf. I'm going to give you a nice ring for your finger. I'm going to put new sandals on your feet. And we're going to throw the biggest party this family's ever seen. He just spilled grace after grace after grace on his son. He said, you're going to come back and live in the main house. You're my son. That wayward son knew what he deserved and could only hope for a little mercy. But his father's grace blew his mind. Grace does that. And grace in this situation was so overwhelming in this case that the brother of this kid got all upset about it. Remember that? His brother said, hey, my younger brother messed up big time. Where's the justice? Maybe show him a little mercy. Give him a room back in the bunkhouse. I've been faithful all the time. I've stayed here. Why give him grace? That's not even reasonable. And that's what grace is. It's beyond what we deserve. So why did Jesus tell this story? I think Jesus told this story because it teaches us so many lessons. But I want you to think through this story kind of in your own mind for a few seconds. Would the story of the prodigal son ended differently had the son not owned up to his transgressions? I mean, suppose the kid waltzes in and he says, I'm home. Where's the marching band? I'm tired of living in a pig pen. I want back in the main house. I deserve to be back in the main house. In fact, Dad and Mom, if you'd kind of move out of the bedroom, out of your bedroom, I'd like to move in there. And can you leave me the remote control? That's not in the Bible. No remote controls. Do you think the story would have played out differently had this kid never really come clean where he blew it? And on what he truly deserved? You see, within Scripture, there's this thing called repentance. It literally means turning around. It literally means doing a 180. And it has a huge part to play in this thing called grace. Grace has never been about rewarding bad behavior. I mean, think about it as a parent. Your kid goes out and speeding, wrecks the car, and you just say, don't worry about it. Here's keys to a new one. I don't think so. Don't worry about the speed limit. It's kind of unreasonable. I mean, what kind of good parent would do that? None. And what kind of lesson do you think that that would give your kid if they're not held accountable in some way? And how do you think that would prepare them for real life, not real well? So there's this thing called repentance, which is closely connected to this word called grace. And way too many people forget about the repenting part, about the asking for forgiveness. And today, as we observe communion, it's really an opportunity for us to stop and to think for a few minutes about where we are in our relationship with God and in our relationship with other people. Are there areas in our lives where we've really blown it and we need to lift up a prayer of repentance, asking God to cleanse us and give us a fresh start? And then as we receive the bread and drink from the cup, it reminds us of God's abundant grace that covers all of our sins. As Psalm 103 puts it once again, as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. That is a radically freeing attitude that allows us to live life not saddled down with guilt and shame, but to live with a sense of joy. You know, quite often, I'll invite people to church, and sometimes they'll tell me, well, I'm afraid to come to church because I think the whole building would collapse if I walked through the doors because I'm that bad. And I say to them, you know what? The church is built exactly for people like you, people like us, people like me, who are not perfect or even close to it. The good news of the Christian faith is that no matter how far we've wandered, no matter how far we've fallen short of perfection, God extends his mercy and even his grace to us. So in the next few minutes, I invite you to reflect on where you are with God and with yourself and with your neighbors, and to offer up prayers of repentance. And then as you come to receive communion, you remember Christ's promise to you of grace that abounds and grace that allows us to live a life free from the chains and shackles of our past mistakes. Let us pray. Speak to us, Lord, and give us the strength to repent and to accept the grace that you so freely offer to us. Free us from our past mistakes so that we might live with the joy of your grace. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.